If you take your Bibles now and turn with me to Genesis. Genesis chapter 5. We'll look at verse 24. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. We can begin in verse 21. And I entitled this message, "What is it to walk with God?" What is it to walk with God? What does that mean? Let's read about this man, Enoch. Scripture says in verse 21, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Enoch walked with God. Here in this passage, we have the history of a man. This man, Enoch, the seventh generation from Adam. And the only man other than Elijah to be translated to not see death. The scripture says, "And God took him." God translated him. He was taken from this life without dying. And we know that in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he shall return, the scripture tells us that there will be some who are alive, some believers who are alive that will experience this same thing. They will be translated. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Those who have fallen into death, those who believers who have died, the scripture says when Christ comes, they will arise first. In other words, everybody's going to see this. It's not going to be secret. They're going to rise, and their bodies are going to be instantly met with their spirits and transformed into a holy body. And the scripture says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The end. That's it. That's it. Forever we shall ever be with the Lord. Isn't that a blessed thought? Isn't that a blessed thought that no matter if we fall into the ground and die, or we're here when Christ comes, it does not matter. We shall all together be translated. This mortal must put on immortality. This corruptible body must put on incorruption. We who are saved by the grace of God, we are saved body, soul, and spirit. Got that? The whole man is saved. The whole man is saved. So when it dies, we have this hope of being raised again and reunited with the Spirit. Now this man Enoch, his experience before he was translated. That's what I really want to talk about this morning. This translation was a wonderful thing, and every believer is going to be have that same translation. But I want to talk about Enoch before his translation. This man, if you read all of the other men, they live, 900 years or, This guy lived 365 years. And what was the testimony of God for these 365 years of this man? The scripture says he walked with God. He walked with God. Go to Jude. Now, give you a little understanding of this man. Jude gives us this. Enoch was a preacher. He was a preacher. In Jude chapter 1, verse 14, it tells us a little about this man. It says, "Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings. He preached. He declared what? Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints. And this is what He's going to do. To execute judgment upon all. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. This man, what did he do? He preached of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude was talking about this coming of Christ. He's talking about Christ. That was his message. And you know, he's saying, look, Enoch, he preached the same thing I'm preaching. He preached the gospel of the Messiah. Consider this, that he was just the seventh generation of man. And yet he was doing the same thing we're doing right now, preaching him that is to come. Where did he learn this message? Well, he learned this from Adam. God had preached the gospel to Adam and Eve, didn't he? He said, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. He preached the Lord is coming. The Savior is coming. And all who look to Him shall be delivered. And he preached this, he's coming with his saints. In other words, there are people that he will make holy. These saints, sanctified ones, that's what the word means. He will come with all those he has made holy, that he has sanctified. All those he had set apart unto himself. And you who believe on Christ, we too are sanctified. We are sanctified. We are set apart by the Father in election, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ, as I read to you in Hebrews 10. We are sanctified once for all. Once for all. We are made holy by His blood. And by the power of the Spirit we have been sanctified. He has given us a new and holy nature. By which we are now capable of what? Believing on Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you. What did He choose you for? To salvation. And here's the means, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. This gospel message that we preach is essential. It's essential to the salvation of all God's elect. What Enoch did was essential to those saints in that day. He prophesied of Christ. He preached of Christ. And so today, this gospel message that we preach is essential. This is the means that God has chosen. He chose it in Adam's day, He chose it in Enoch's day, and today He has chosen this same means of calling His saints by preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:21, for after that the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to know God by wisdom, not by earthly wisdom, not by earthly philosophy or vain religion. You're not going to know Him by that. How shall a man know God? It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God is pleased to save His people through the preaching of the gospel. Scripture is plain. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they have not heard? You can't call on Christ that you don't know. This false religion is preaching a Christ that's not the Christ. They're calling upon a Christ that's not Christ. But how shall you know Christ except someone preach the gospel to you? And how shall they preach except they be sent? It is the means that God is pleased to call His saints to experience all that He has purposed, all that Christ has accomplished, and by the power of the Spirit of God, through the preaching of the gospel, is this message applied. And so we see Enoch was a preacher. He was preaching the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the job of every pastor, every preacher, to study and to preach this gospel to you. But it's also the responsibility of the church to witness of this gospel where they are. We're to preach this gospel, this testimony, the same message that Enoch preached, Christ. This is the testimony of Enoch. He preached Christ in his generation. Even so, as we begin this new year, let's think of this, that we are here for this purpose. God has placed us where we are so that we should witness of Him. We should testify of Him. Now, but this morning, I want to spend the rest of my time now talking about this idea of walking with God. Walking with God. It was said of Enoch, he walked with God. Now, what then is it to walk with God? What does it mean? Now, there are many people today making resolutions. Resolutions. Everybody does it every year. Nothing wrong. You make a resolution, but we know this. And many of these resolutions are just pipe dreams. They're just illusions. We have hopes. People say, well, I'm just going to be a better person. Okay, what's that going to do? Usually that doesn't work. But most of these are physical, but I know this. Some people today are making religious resolutions. Religious resolutions. And one of them is this. I want to walk closer with God. They say that. You ever hear that? I want to just walk closer with God. I'm going to go through this year walking close. I want to walk with Jesus. Now, this by no means is a bad resolution. I just don't believe many people understand what it means to walk with God. I know what they're... Most of people, when they say they want to walk with God, they just want to feel spiritual. That's what they want. They want a spiritual, religious experience. They think walking with God is literally, actually walking with God. That God's walking right here beside me. And I'm sure they have sincere. I'm sure they're sincere in their resolution. I'm not going to deny their sincerity. The problem is they don't know what it means when they say that. They don't know what it is or what it takes to walk with God. To walk with God. They want to feel His presence, or maybe they want to live more pleasing to God. And so what do they do? What do you do to walk with God? They think that you got to stop doing something and start doing something religious. That you got to start trying to obey the law or start doing better or be a better person. And then God will walk with you. But none of these things have anything to do with walking with God. You can be the best person that you can possibly be and still not walk with God. That will never merit God walking with you. Now, I want to see this first about walking with God. That in order to walk with God, you must be in agreement. You must be in agreement. No man can walk with God unless they are in agreement. That's what it says in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with God unless you are in agreement. Fellowship with Him. Now, how can a man be in fellowship with God? How can you be in agreement with God? There's only one way. By faith in Christ Jesus alone. No man can walk with God apart from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't walk with God apart from faith. Now, when God created man, He created him in His image, He made him perfect. Adam was a perfect man, and this perfect man walked with God. He was in agreement with God. He walked in righteousness and obedience, and therefore they walked together in agreement. A man agreed with this: God is God. When Adam was created, he knew this: God was God and he was not. He walked as a creature of God, that God, he knew this: God was to be worshipped, honored, praised in all things. And man was to be obedient. That's what Adam knew. He knew he must be obedient to God in order for these two to walk together. God and man walked together until when? Until Adam sinned. When man fell into sin and disobedience, he could no longer walk with God. In Genesis 3, it tells us this: and Adam, after they had sewed those fig leaves together and thought everything was okay. That's always a picture of religious works, isn't it? People think they just sew these works together and they cover their nakedness before God. We're all right. We're good. Until when? Until they heard the voice of the Lord. Isn't that true of you and me? I'm sure we thought we were all right until we heard His voice. And listen, when they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden, in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Isn't that amazing? God condescending to ask a question like that, knowing where he was, knowing what he had done. God came to them. God came to walk with his creation, but what did Adam do? Adam ran. He hid. This is true of us. Because we were all born in sin by our father Adam, we loved our sin and our hearts and minds were at enmity against God. This is who we are by nature. We cannot walk with God by nature. Why? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not at enmity, it just is enmity against God. Why? It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You try to whip this flesh into shape and it only gets worse. Can't get better. If you're here without Christ, there's a reason you don't love the things of God. You that are lost, you don't have anything, any desire for the things of God. It's because your carnal mind is enmity against God. You love the things of this world. You love to have your own way to please your flesh. Therefore, all who are lost cannot walk with God. Cannot walk with God. In fact, they run from God. Have you ever tried to witness to someone and watch them squirm? They just want to get out of the room as fast as they can. You talk about righteousness and peace with God and justice and sanctification. They don't want to hear it. This is our nature. This is how we were. We did not want to hear the things of God. They don't want to hear about the blood and righteousness of Christ. If the Spirit of God does not work upon them, They'll do anything they can to get out or change the subject. Why? Because they're not in agreement. They're not in agreement with God. God demands righteousness. To be in agreement with God, to walk with God, you and I must be as righteous as God. We must be as holy as God in order to walk with Him. God is just and holy, and He cannot overlook sin. He cannot. Man by nature is unrighteous and disobedient. He sees himself as a superior, as a supreme ruler. That's what man sees himself as. And he demands that God be in agreement with him. Lost man, but lost man is not without religion. Therefore, he believes he's able to walk with God. Man by nature believes he's able to walk with God by his own merits. You know, but what does God's Word say? I don't care what men think or their opinion. I talk to men. I witness to men. I start out with this. I don't want you to hear my opinion. My opinion is just as good as yours. It's really worthless. What does God say? What does God say? Men say, well, you know, if I just stop doing this, I start going to church and I get baptized and I take the Lord, I can walk with God. What does God say about that? Look at Romans chapter 3. You know this very well. Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And what's the conclusion of that? You can't walk with God. That's a conclusion. You can't walk with God by your obedience. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. What's the purpose of the law? Is the purpose of the law so that you can walk with God? The purpose of the law is to show you that you are not walking with God. That you are not in agreement with God. The purpose of the law is that every mouth should be stopped and the whole world become guilty before God. When I read the law, all I can see is my guilt. There's no hope of walking with God by obedience to the law. Oh, that man would cease the foolish notion that they can walk with God by their obedience or merit. I tell you, this thought even enters into the believer's mind. You know, we may have a patch in our life where we're doing real good. You know, we may even feel the presence of God. Our faith may be ever so strong. And this notion, well, you know, well, obviously God's walking with me because I'm doing well. God's walking with me because I'm doing good. You cannot merit this walk, friends. You cannot merit the presence of God. We would cease from this foolish notion that we can walk with God or somehow God is moved to walk with us by our goodness or by our obedience. Listen, if God's walking with you this morning, there's only one reason. His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the only reason God ever walked with me. The only reason God would ever have any communion at all with me is because of the merits of His Son. And listen, no man could ever walk with God unless God give him a new heart. Man will continually try to merit the favor of God by his obedience until God gives him a new heart, a new nature. That's what man needs. Unless God acts upon the heart of man, these two will never be in agreement. Unless we are as holy as God, we can never walk with God. Listen to what the psalmist said. Who can ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who can walk with God? Who shall stand in the holy place? Listen. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. All right, go ahead and raise your hand if that's you. You see, by our merits, we can never do this. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul to vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, that man, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, there's only one man ever did that. There's only one man had clean hands and a pure heart. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He alone received the blessing and salvation from the Lord. Now, this morning, do you long to walk with God? In order to walk with God, then you must be reconciled to God. You must be reconciled. You must be in agreement. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "But now in Christ, you who were sometimes afar off." Now that's where we were. We were far off from God. We are made nigh. How in the world were you who were afar off now made nigh? By the blood of Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross. How can you walk with God? Only by this. Jesus Christ has come and reconciled us to God. Reconciled us by his one offering. He has reconciled us to God. Those of you who are far off, I have a message of peace. I have a message of good news. You who are afar off can walk with God. You can. I have a message of peace. But listen, you must come on His terms. His terms. God will not and cannot come to you and walk with you based on your terms. If you go to God on your terms, you will never walk with God. I hope that God would reveal this to you. God is the offended party. Man seems to think that he's the offended party and somehow God's got to work. No, God's the offended party. It's our sins that have separated us from God. And God, knowing this, that you and I could not reconcile ourselves to Him. Listen, He has made provisions by which man could walk with Him. God made provisions. You remember that history of Abraham and Isaac when they went up to God told him, go offer your son, your only son, on Mount Moriah. And he's taking Isaac up there. And Isaac looking around, he said, Dad, here's the fire. I got the knife right here. And we got the wood. Where's the lamb? And what did Abraham say? God shall provide himself a lamb. God shall provide himself a lamb. This was pictured by Adam and Eve. You know, they were separated from God. They hid from God. God came to them, and he preached the message of Christ coming. He said, the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. The seed of the woman will do away with sin, so that we are reconciled. And then he gave them a picture. You remember that picture? He sacrificed an animal to cover their nakedness. What a picture of Christ that was. It was God. It was God who came to man, and it was God who gave them a sacrifice. I long for God to come even in this place, and may God come to the lost and quicken them so that they might see Christ is the only covering for sin. Christ is the only reconciliation for sin. I hope that God offer this, that allow you to see that God has provided a sacrifice. So when God comes to the sinner, they see their sin is exposed, and they see the only provision is Christ. The only way they can be in agreement with God, the only way they can have peace with God, is by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This is the picture of what God has done for the guilty. What God demands for payment is death. And yet God's Son has come and offered himself a sacrifice for sin. This is the terms of God's reconciliation, is that his Son offer himself a sacrifice for sins and be the righteousness of God for all those who believe. Listen to this in Romans 3. I just read that to you, that there's none righteous, no, not one, and not by the deeds of the law you're going to be justified. Listen to this. In the very next verse, in 21, it says this, but now the righteousness of God without the law, without your obedience to the law, is clearly manifest. Witness by the law and the prophets. Enoch witnessed of this. He testified of this. Even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ. In order to walk with God, you have to be righteous. How then is this righteousness procured? How is it made? It is made by the faith of Christ. That's how righteousness is made. He made righteousness by his obedience. And then this righteousness is unto all and upon all them that believe. To walk with God, you must be reconciled. To walk with God, you must be in agreement. And this is the agreement. Believe on Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in Christ. You cannot appeal to God based on your service or your obedience. You must come to God as a sinner. You come to him with no goodness at all. You sue for mercy, and by faith you believe. And the moment you believe, listen to this, you are walking with God. To walk with God is to simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I'm in complete agreement with God about myself. I am a sinner. I'm in complete agreement that I cannot merit the righteousness of God. I'm also in agreement to this, Jesus Christ is all my righteousness. Jesus Christ is all my atonement. He is the only way I can walk with God. And this is what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes to God but by me. You see how that does away with all false religion, all these so-called mediators. If you want to walk with God, don't come to me. I can't help you walk with God. I'm not a mediator. People come to me and say, pray for me. And so I'm being a preacher, I can have some kind of higher access. No. Jesus said, no man comes to God but by me. You can't walk with God but by Christ. It's the only way. The man comes to God by the only way that God has prescribed. He then has fellowship with God. Now, if we say we walk with God, but we're still trusting in something, some other thing. And religion, they'll tell you this. Well, yeah, you have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They'll don't deny that. But then after you believe, what do? They refer you back to some kind of law, some kind of way to continue walking with God. Well, you believed, and that's how you start walking with God. But in order to continue, you have to sanctify yourself. You have to obey the law. You have to do this and stop doing that in order to walk with God. What are they doing? They're saying this, that Christ is not enough. That's exactly what they're saying. They're saying, well, you began, that's good, you began walking with God by faith, but now you've got to do something more. Christ is just simply not enough. If a man says you walk with God by faith and then starts trusting in his merits, listen, that man has fallen from grace. I didn't say this. Paul said it. Remember that church in Galatians? They believed in election. They believed predestination. They believed in Christ's perfect work. They believed in his offering for sin. They trusted him and they said, oh, that's good, but you need to be circumcised. You just need to obey this one law, right here. And then you can walk with God. What did Paul say about that? He said, if you be circumcised, Christ profits you. How much? Not at all. Nothing. So if you say you begin by faith and end by works, listen, you are not walking with God. You're not in agreement. You're not in agreement. God said Christ is all. And you say, well, Christ is a big portion, but I have to. No, you're not in agreement. Christ will profit you nothing. That's what Paul said. John says it like this in 1 John 1:6. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Listen, if you refer back, if you say you walk, it's easy to say you walk with God, isn't it? Can you say that? Well, anybody can say that. But listen, he said, and walk in darkness. What is this? If you go back to the darkness of vain religion. I mean, I get it that, you know, you can see people walking in darkness, you know, in the world. They're not saying they walk with God. They don't have any interest in walking with God. This is talking about religious people. All that believe on Christ as their only hope, we walk with God. But I'll tell you this, if you go back to the merits of the law, listen, you never walk with God to begin with. We who walk with God in agreement to this, I'm in Christ because God put me there. Do you believe that? I do. But of God are you in Christ Jesus. You believe that? You do. You're walking with God. I believe that. And God hath made him, made unto us, made Christ unto us wisdom. Is he your wisdom? Righteousness. Is he your righteousness? Sanctification. Is he your sanctification? I'm harping on this because I mean this is the religion of the world. Is it, you know, well, Christ my righteousness, but you know my sanctification, I got to do that. You're not in agreement with God. I'm in agreement. Christ is my sanctification. Just as much as he is my righteousness and my wisdom and my redemption. We're in agreement. We believe on Christ. He is our everything. We are walking with God. Are you walking with God this morning? Do you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he all your salvation? Are you convinced that in yourself dwells no good thing? Is he all you desire and need to stand before God? If he is your reconciliation, then my friend, listen, you are right now walking with God. Just as Enoch did. Enoch walked with God. How did Enoch walk with God? Well, God doesn't leave us to doubt. I've been saying this. He walked by faith. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, quickly. Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 38. What does it say? Now the just shall live, how? By faith. But if any man draw back. What is he talking about drawing back? Drawing back to what? If you draw back from faith, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If one professes to believe on Christ and draws back to the law or merits, what has he done? He just proved this, that he never walked with God to begin with. Why? Because those who are justified, we live by faith. This is how Enoch walked 300 years. Isn't it something, 300 years? Joanne, I don't mean to pick on you, but you're probably the oldest one here. You were just a baby compared to what he's 300 years. What, you got, what, 220 more years to go? 300 years. How did he walk with God? By faith. That's how we all walk with God. If you believe God this morning, you're walking with God by faith. In chapter 11, even Paul tells us this in the example of Enoch, 11:5. Hebrews 11:5, he said, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not taste death and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, listen, before he was translated, listen, he had this testimony. He pleased. How could a sinner like Enoch, because he was a sinner, just like you, how did he please God? Verse 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. Can't walk with God except you believe on Christ. Now, Enoch had no faith in his faith. It astounds me people have faith in their faith. How much faith do you have in your faith? Well, I have no faith in my faith. My faith, it fluctuates moment by moment. But I have no fluctuation in the object of my faith. Faith has an object. And Christ is the object of our faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. This is the only way we are pleasing to God. Now then, I want to close with this. You may ask this, how can I walk closer with God? only if God gives us more faith. That's it. We began this walk by faith, and listen, we're going to continue this walk by faith. Listen, if you want to walk closer to God, we should believe God in every circumstance and every providence. We should believe God in every circumstance and every providence. Listen to what Paul says. He said, without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe he is, and the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as we walk with him, we not only trust that he is God manifest in the flesh, we know this, we trust he is seated on the throne of God. To believe Christ is to believe he is sovereign and the ruler over all things. In Hebrews 12, Paul said, look, we're compassed about by these witnesses. Enoch was a witness, wasn't he? He's a testimony to us. We're cumbered about with these witnesses, a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race set before us. How are we to run? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's how we're running this race. That's how we continually walk with God and walk closer with God, is continually believing and looking to Christ. The more you look to Christ, the closer you feel toward God. That's what you're really wanting, isn't it? If you can't get any closer to God than you already are. You're in union with Christ. But I know this, as we go through this life, we desire to have that presence of God. We desire to feel his presence. The only way you can have that is by looking unto Jesus. Who is what? The author. Who's the author of your salvation? He's the author of it. But in the middle of this life, we come into trials and difficulties and troubles, griefs, sorrows, pain. How do we endure these things? By looking unto him who is not only author, but the finisher. I'm so glad that Christ is all. I'm so glad that my walk with God is not contingent upon my merits to walk with God. But my walk with God is contingent upon his success, his victory, his blood, his righteousness. And so in every providence, in every circumstance, I believe this, that all things work together for my good. They don't feel good, but they're working together for my good. Now how can I endure? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my salvation. So as we walk with God in the dark times of providence, let us continually look unto Christ. I like that hymn, look to the Lamb of God. Are you weary? Does the way seem long? Look to the Lamb of God. In joy or sorrow, Christ is all in all. Look to the Lamb of God. And I'll tell you this, like Enoch, we walk with God by faith. And we also look for a day that we too are going to be translated like him. There's coming a day. There's coming a day, and it is fast approaching, when we will forever live in the presence of God. We will literally walk with God. Isn't that something? Right now we walk by faith, not by sight, not by feelings. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. That's how we walk with God. If you long to walk with God, look, believe His Son. Rest in His Son. And you, my friends, are walking with God. You're in agreement. You in agreement? I am. I always take God's side against myself. That's walking with God. I pray God help you. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Our gracious Father, thank you for this time. I do ask for mercy. I pray for these. I pray that you'd pour out your Spirit on them. Father, you would cause every heart to look to Christ, to flee to Him. And all who do, we understand this, that we are like Enoch walking with you. I pray, Father, that you'd bless us and keep us. Bring us again to this place in Jesus' name.